Ruined its return in 2019, but taking the reins this morning, the show is in good hands, of course. Dave Gleeson and Alana Smith, good morning.
Good morning. Good Thanks morning. For that vote of confidence.
Yes, nice one.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Looking a little bit rough around the edges though, mate. Did you have a fight with a snake or something?
Oh, I did yesterday.
Just guessing.
There seems to be a lot more snake action this year than previous years. I've seen heaps of them, and yesterday I was out there doing the do with the whippersnapper, and one of them came, I went over the top of it with the whippersnapper and then kind of arced up a bit.
That'll piss it off. Yeah. Of
so then I'd kind of poke, because you're not allowed to hurt them in any way. They're a protected species. So I just kind of moved the whippersnapper towards it so it'd leave, and it reared up and...
What are we talking, a brownie or a red
brown
belly?
Snake, probably 3 foot long. So
how high off the ground? Where's it coming up to on you?
Probably came about 6 or 8 inches up off the ground. Just enough to make your blood run cold, no matter what.
Do you freeze or what do you do?
I guess
you had a big piece of machinery in front of you. But
I left very quickly, went inside, collected my thoughts. Even the small ones. When I first moved down here, I was sitting on the toilet. And I got up from finishing and I turned around. There was like a probably 12, 15 centimetre little tiny snake.
Yep.
So I got
Were you thinking, did I pass that?
Where did that come from?
What I actually thought was, I'm glad I was finished doing what I was doing before I saw that snake.
Yeah.
And I put a plastic thing over it, and it was like striking at the plastic.
Yeah.
So they
from a very young age,
they're ready to have a crack. So,
touch wood. I've never seen a snake outside of a zoo and I hope it stays that way.
Leave those suckers alone.
Yeah.
That's my advice. Just move away. Because as everyone will tell you, they pretty well don't want to be near you just as much as you don't want to be near them.
So don't stand still. Let it walk over you. Run.
Oh.
I don't know if that's the right advice. But anyway.
That's what I did. Yeah. Whipper, snipper and all.
What's coming up on the show?
Big show. We're going to be talking to the Premier shortly. Huge news for South Australia. They've landed a massive space agency deal going forward, won the race across the nation. So it's amazing news, and we'll get all the details from him. A few other stories to get through as well.
That's right. We've got the top three coming up very shortly.
We'll do that next. Ruined is for breakfast. Triple M. It's making news.
Well, the Adelaide City Council met for the final time this year last night and voted unanimously against the hotel development, which is due to take place at Adelaide Oval. And we'll pose a question when we talk to the Premier, Stephen Marshall, about what that vote, what weight that holds. I understand probably not much.
It's all, but as far as I can see, it looks like it's a done deal that they're going to build this hotel. The Adelaide City Council met last night. They had a full gallery there. There's a lot of public...
Opposition.
Yeah. I was going to say support for it not going up, but opposition's a bit much better way to do that.
Either or.
Yes, they're very worried about what it will do to the parklands and what it will flag for upcoming development. If we build this hotel, is this going to be the start
the
of So there's a lot of consternation.
I'm sure
about that.
Plenty of those people were also there when they were going to redevelop the oval itself, and they didn't want that.
Right.
And then look at what a success story that is.
One of the councillors actually said we should point out that the building itself, the Adelaide Oval, is an icon. And the idea that you mess with an icon by building on top of it is moving down the same path as we saw in Sydney, where we see billboards on the Opera House. We were talking about that. That was a temporary thing, obviously. They were projected onto the Opera
projection.
House.
Yes. So, that was the Everest race, huge controversy.
Yes.
But that's actually been happening for a long time with different logos, et cetera, being projected onto the Opera House. I think it was more the case of it being for associated with gambling.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And wasn't there a concern with other hotels thinking we're going to take away their...
Well, obviously,
the brand new casino hotel, first and foremost.
But it's more of a novelty thing, though, right?
I think they're fairly different markets that they'll be targeting.
Well, I was in England about 2000, and we stayed at Chelsea's home ground. They have a big hotel on the side of that, so it's obviously something that they do overseas quite a bit. Yeah. So,
and it's a novelty thing. If you want to go, if you're into the sport, you might stay there for that.
But I'd want to be able to see the cricket. This would be my thing, or the footy from my hotel. I mean, you'd think there'd be rooms that you could get, like premium rooms where you could see the footy.
I think that would make sense.
Yeah.
Anyway,
in the hot tub. Yeah.
We'll ask the Premier about that. Also making news today, bats.
Fruit bats,
yeah.
There's bats in the belfry.
There's thousands of them, more than 20,000 now living in colonies across the city. I think lots of them are around the Botanic Gardens, but they're causing lots of power outages.
The bat colony's grown from 3,000 to more than 20,000 in 3 years, and we've seen in the last 3 years that number of outages grow from 13 to 26 to 40, and we'll expect more in 2019.
Now, there must be something we can do to stop this bat immigration. Surely we can turn back the bats.
Get rid of all the fruit.
Turn back the bats. That's brilliant.
I wonder if that's what happened at my house yesterday. I had a power outage yesterday.
But they find all kinds of things. We were just researching this. There was a massive goanna. And what happens is you can touch one line. But as soon as you make a connection between the two lines, you get the zap, and that's why you see these bats. You think, why isn't that bat flying away? Because it's dead. But yes, it's a bit of a problem for the electricity grid, being taken out.
All right, and SA Police have issued a warning to the public to be careful of scammers in the lead up to Christmas. They can take all forms, phone calls, texts, emails, contact you directly on social media, even via post, we're hearing.
Most of us are excitedly waiting for our Christmas parcels to be delivered. You might even be a bit convinced that this came from, a parcel from Grandma.
It didn't only have my name and my phone number, but they had my full address, which really concerned me because that coincided with the delivery of my package.
Yes, so I mean, this is the thing with the times that we live in, with everything being connected and being able to hunt you down through your Facebook or through any of your kind of interactions on social media. I got called by a robot the other day, said I was going to get issued with an arrest warrant. And I'm spewing because I wanted to say to that robot, you want to meet somewhere, robot, and we'll sort this out. But there's just the scams just take so many different shapes and forms.
That's right. And some of them are really quite sophisticated. They pose as government agencies and organisations, telecommunications companies, even the NBN has been a big one apparently. So obviously lots of homes having work done in that space.
Yeah, right.
So people are expecting it. You get all the stuff in the mail, it's your time. You have to switch over. And that's one way people are being targeted. So,
and if you've got someone from the Australian Taxation Office saying you've got a bill and then telling you need to go and buy iTunes cards at a local shop.
Yeah, Coles,
he's not from the Australian Taxation Office.
Just a heads person. Up.
He's probably from somewhere else.
All right. And it's normally a top three, but we've decided to make it a top four for this man.
People are pouring into our country, including terrorists. We caught 10 terrorists over the last very short period of time. We need the wall. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck.
I don't know what to say about madmen running the most
powerful.
He says
it all himself, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah.
He does. So he's been promising the wall, and now he really wants it, because obviously that caravan of people is moving through Mexico and coming towards the border, or getting to the border of the United States. So
it's quite a threat, though. He's going to shut down the government.
Proudly shut down the government. He'll be proud to shut it down. Anyway, God bless him.
He'll probably pull it off as well.
Yeah.
That's the top four. That's what's making news. The Premier, Stephen Marshall, with that big announcement for SA Triple M.
Well, South Australia has won the race to house the new Australian Space Agency. And joining us to tell us more is Premier Stephen Marshall. Good morning to you, Premier. This is a massive win for our state.
Good morning, guys. Look, it doesn't get any bigger than this. The Prime Minister in the state to announce that South Australia will host the National Space Agency. This is just huge news for industry in South Australia. It's huge news for jobs, and of course, massive for our next generation, who will have incredible high-paid jobs in South Australia for generations to come. It's just great news.
Yeah, it's saying by 2030 they'll be lifting revenue to $12 billion and creating 20,000 jobs. That's just amazing.
We've already got 60 firms here in South Australia, and they employ about 800 people in the space sector. But having the National Space Agency based in your city is just massive, and it's going to drive real investment dollars here into Adelaide, South Australia, and that's going to help grow our own homegrown companies, the SMEs that are involved, especially in SmartSat technologies, but also bring many more of the global companies into South Australia. So I couldn't be more excited. I could hardly sleep last night.
You talk about that big influx headed our way. What about local jobs? What sort of portion of that 20,000 do you expect will be created for locals?
We've already, if you like, got the lion's share of the defence jobs in Australia. And I think this really sets us up as the defence and space capital of the country. I expect huge numbers of jobs here in South Australia. We've got 800 at the moment, but look, there'll be thousands and thousands of new jobs created. And this is great because in South Australia, for such a long period of time, we've had kids finishing school and university and leaving and moving interstate and overseas to get a high-paid job. Now their future is here in Adelaide. This is just great news for those people. It will also inspire our students in schools to get involved in STEM subjects. This will have a flow-on effect for our overall economy in South Australia. It's an historic day for our state. And it's time to get really excited in South Australia. Couldn't be a better Christmas present, I don't think.
and we have Andy Thomas, who's our leading light, South Australia's own, who's been part of the NASA space program for a while. Was he involved in the bid at all?
Oh, absolutely, right from day one. Andy Thomas, Australia's first NASA astronaut, has really helped the credibility of the bid in South Australia. He was one of the people instrumental in influencing Malcolm Turnbull to establish a National Space Agency for Australia. He's one of many people that helped South Australia put in the most compelling competitive bid. Because let's make no mistake, every other state wanted this, but we won it. It is just, it's like winning the jackpot. This is great news.
Yeah, huge congratulations to all involved in getting it here to South Australia. Premier, if we can also just ask you on another topic. Last night, the City Council voted unanimously against the Stadium Hotel. Does that hold any weight, that vote, or will plans just go ahead?
Look, the reality is there will always be people that are for development, people that are against it. A lot of people were against the redevelopment of the Adelaide Oval in the first place. I think the SMA's got the balance right. It's not encroaching one single blade of grass onto the Adelaide parkland. It's not receiving a grant from the taxpayers. It's a loan. And in fact, the taxpayers make a margin on that loan. I think it's the right development to ensure that we continue to diversify the revenue into the Adelaide Oval so that the taxpayers don't have to continually put their hand in the pocket for upgrades of that incredible facility that we have. So I think on balance, it's a good proposal. Of course, it's still got to go through the planning approvals. We understand now the Adelaide City Council are against it, but I think that overall the people of South Australia want to see this state moving forward.
Well, it's certainly booming, and with Whyalla being announced earlier on in the week, it's looking very bright on the jobs front for the future of South Australia.
You're spot on, and I think that's what we need in South Australia, a more positive trajectory, making South Australians more proud about the great state that we live in. And the good news is if we can get our economy booming, we keep more of our young people here in South Australia, this is great for our future as a state.
Indeed, you're doing a great job. Thanks very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Premier.
Enjoy the rest of the morning.
Cheers.
What a goal!
Ruin Dits Overnight Sports.
Cricket's first, and Australia hit the nets today in Perth, eyeing off revenge in the second test starting on Friday. Our top six batters are under scrutiny, having averaged just 27 runs in the first innings and only 22 in the second. It's not ideal, but selectors are expected to stick with the status quo. The Perth pitch at the new Optus Stadium is expected to be fast and unpredictable, having hosted just one four-day game, and temperatures are also expected to push 40 degrees on day one.
There'll be some bounces going on over there. I can't wait. The Big Bash is breaking with tradition and doing away with the coin toss when the season starts next week. Instead, captains will flip a bat, calling hills or flats rather than heads or tails. What are we, 10? That's what we used to do as kids. But anyway, they're always innovating with the Big Bash.
I think for the Big Bash, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Give it a whirl. Now, the AFL has ruled out introducing a red card system in 2019, but the league's cracking down on intentional high hits, stomach punches, and players using their boots in marking contests.
And in the sample, Woodville West Torrens have applauded new rules aimed at preventing another 19th man drama that overshadowed the Eagles' prelim loss to the Roosters. The new regulations will allow a team runner and vice captain to join the skipper in being able to call for a head count.
Makes sense. Mm. And in some NRL news, Cronulla coach Shane Flanagan could be facing some serious sanctions. There are reports the NRL's investigation into the Sharks' salary cap scandal has uncovered emails between Flanagan and club officials during his 2014 peptide ban, which could see him handed a further suspension. Oh,
peptides are the steroids that just keep on giving,
it gets better, doesn't it?
Oh, wowee.
And that's the sport. Triple M's Ruined Dits for breakfast. Triple M's Ruined Dits return in 2019 with their biggest ever cash giveaway.
Don't give it away, Lana. Okay. And we've got something else to give away. The secrets to a long and healthy life.
Well, it's very timely because my generation starts with the line in the first verse, he says, I hope I die before I get old. And that's Roger Daltrey, who's currently 75 years old.
All right. Well, a survey has been done of those that have surpassed the 100-year mark. Some say it's healthy eating, exercising daily, perhaps just genetics. One woman cited eating bacon every day was her reason that she was able to live to 116 years old. But there's been an answer that's really stood out from Jessie Gallen, who was reached 109 years. She was a Scottish woman. Her secret to life is avoiding men at all costs. She says,
right back at you.
My secret to a long life has been staying away from men. They're just more trouble than they're worth. Discuss.
That is crazy. I mean, because they say women and men's life expectancy is different, especially in marriages. Men seem to drop off the perch earlier in long relationships, and that's because it's the only way out, I would imagine.
Check out, yeah.
I'm gone, darling. I'm not doing this anymore.
Tired of doing dishes and cleaning the house all the time.
But everyone's got, I mean, I know of people who've smoked well into their 90s and up to 100 and stuff like that. Mm. And so it seems that one thing that's good for someone is not always good for someone else. There is a guy, there's a movie called Spinal Tap, and I suggest everybody should watch it. And this is what I would say is my philosophy as well.
If I were to ask you what your philosophy of life or your creed, what would that be?
Have a good time. All the time. That's my philosophy, Marty.
I like that philosophy.
That's a good one, isn't
that
it?
That is a very good philosophy. This woman that we're discussing this morning, so she was born in 1906 in Scotland with five sisters and one brother, and they grew up in a two-bedroom little cottage. They slept basically on the floor. So, you know, all the fancy things we have today and all the, you know, fad foods we're into, etc. She's had a very simple existence, but reached that age. It's amazing, isn't it?
I bet she never ate kale in her life.
No, nope. Porridge.
Porridge.
Just ate porridge.
Oats. Yeah.
So I'm interested to hear what other people have as their secret to a long life. And it doesn't have to be a happy life, just long.
Healthy, yeah. Let's go to Avalon from McLaren Vale. What's your secret to a long and healthy life?
So my great-granddad used to say, we're not here for a long time, we're here for a good time.
Right, yep. And did he have a good time?
That's good to live by, yeah.
Oh, awesome. My mother-in-law and father-in-law both have cod liver oil every day.
Yeah, cod liver?
Yeah. So
okay.
That's something. He's 89, she's 80-something.
Right. When we first moved to Adelaide, we moved in next door to an older Italian couple. He's 93, I think, and she's in her mid-80s. They are up at 5 in the morning. They grow everything in their garden.
Mm-hmm.
They cook. They clean. Their house is immaculate. They're busy literally all day, and they are going so strong. He walks the block. He still works at the pub. He gets paid in beers. He's 93.
Oh, that's my dream job.
I live by the Charles Bukowski quote, don't try. It's a good one as well.
Just don't try. Awesome.
104.7, it's Adelaide's Triple M. We'll take more calls next. 1-333-53. What's your secret to life? A double to the Screaming Jets up for grabs. Give us a call. 1-333-53. Triple M.
Let's go to Wayne from Evanston Gardens. What's your secret, Wayne?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning.
My motto to life would have to be sex, kale, and rock and roll.
kale's a bit of a turn up for the old adage of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So you do actually eat kale?
Yeah, we actually grow our own at home.
Rock on! What's it? I've never tasted it.
Never fresh tasted
or,
kale.
No, fresh or fried, Wayne?
Boiled's better than fried,
yeah,
I find.
Steamed. You do need it to soften. Some of it's too rough.
Or even better, you just have it in the juice. It's five times better that way.
Yeah. Yep.
Good
don't
kale
even
talk.
Know it's there. Yep. Cool.
We've got Victoria from McLaren Flat. How are you going, Victoria?
Yeah, well, thank you. How are you?
Very well. And what's your secret to a long and healthy life?
Well, this is actually my little old granddad's adage. He passed away when he was 80, but he said, we don't have much money, but we do see life.
There you go. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Glass half
full. And he made the most of his life. Yeah, it was awesome. So, yeah, he was a good man and, lived a lot of life for the budget that he was on.
God bless him. All right. We got Steve from Gawler. What about your secret to a long life?
Yeah, how you going, guys? Well, this is one for my old man, and seeing it's Christmas, it's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die.
There you go. That's the one. That's the old pirate's adage right there.
That's right.
You never know what's around the corner.
Thanks,
everyone's been citing their grandparents or their parents,
yes,
passing these little tidbits of wisdom on.
Well, my nana on my mum's side, she lived till 92, and my grandma lived till 98. I have not got a snowflakes in hell of getting anywhere near that, because I don't even know what their secret was. I think grandma just used to sit around and not do too much. That was her secret to long life. And my nana's was to just put me down all the time.
That's, I feel like that might be a whole nother segment.
Yeah. I'm all right now, but
we'll delve into that next time.
We got one more call.
Damien from Croydon.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, thanks, mate.
Damien.
There's only one real way to live a long and healthy life, especially if you're a member of my friends group, and that is live by the rule, keep your hands off a man's wallet, a man's food, a man's wife. You live by that, you'll be fine. You live a quite happy and comfortable life.
Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast. They return in 2019, and this morning from 9, win $20,000 for Triple M's hearing test.
That'd be fantastic. I might have a crack at that myself.
Mm-hmm. But now to an awful story out of Queensland this morning. A young girl, a 7-year-old girl, snatched from a Queensland Kmart. For more details on this story, we're joined by Channel 7 Sunrise reporter Bianca Stone. Good morning to you, Bianca. Can you give us the details on what's taken place?
Yeah, good morning, guys. This is just a terrifying case, and I think it's just about every parent's worst nightmare. It was on Saturday. A 7-year-old girl was shopping with her mother. She was at the North Lakes Westfields. They were inside Kmart in the toy section, as many of us do at this time of year, mm-hmm. Christmas. The little girl was in one aisle. Her mum was in another aisle. She was running backwards and forwards, showing her different toys. The little girl then disappeared, and it was a stranger who had gone up to her, someone completely foreign to her, and in just a few minutes managed to lure her away, convince her to leave with him. She wasn't struggling. She didn't scream, and she went with this man. The 26-year-old man who's been charged with this, he allegedly put her in his car, drove her 30 kilometres to a secluded area, allegedly indecently assaulted her, then drove her back to the shopping centre more than an hour later. She told authorities it was horrific, I guess, for everyone to hear the detail of what had happened while she was away. They used CCTV to track this man down. He was arrested on a Monday night. Now, we can't reveal his identity, but I can tell you this man is a father himself. He's got twin baby girls, and he will be in court this morning.
Unbelievable. And how long was it before the little girl's mother raised the alarm or realised that she'd gone missing?
she raised the alarm straight away. She knew that something wasn't quite right straight away. And my heart goes out to her because as a parent, you know, we've done that ourselves. I've done that myself. I've got little girls myself around the same age. They're in one aisle looking at the Barbies. I'm in another aisle looking at the Lego or something else. And, you know, in that split second, they go missing. And then it takes you that little bit of time to realise that they're actually gone. Mm. So by the time police became involved, it wasn't very long. And then they were involved once, obviously, she got back to that shopping centre. She was too traumatised to tell them at first exactly what had happened. They brought in specialist detectives to work through this. But it is just a horrific reminder to every single parent out there as to how easily this can happen. Thankfully, it is a rare crime, but it can happen, and it's a busy time of year, and it does happen. There are people out there willing to take these opportunities, and it is just horrific. My heart goes out to that little girl and her mother.
Indeed, it's truly terrifying. And what about the offender, as you say, a father of twin girls? Have they been removed from him, and what's the outlook?
Look, those details we are unsure of. Yesterday he appeared in court very briefly, but the media and the public were made to go outside. The court was closed. There will be applications made today to be inside so we can hear the detail of the allegations. He's been charged with three offences, taking a child for immoral purposes, deprivation of liberty, and also indecent treatment of a child aged under 12. Those investigations will be continuing into his background and into the status of his children as well.
And just one more thing: the police have come under fire for not notifying the public earlier than this. It was a 3-day delay between the incident happening and them making it public. What's the police's kind of reason for that?
Yeah, look, really interesting. This happened on Saturday. Police were aware of it on Saturday, and other shoppers knew about it. They made a Facebook post about it, and that was made public. And a lot of people shared that post. There was a lot of talk about it. Media had asked the police about that post. They denied it being the case. They say it's for investigative purposes that they didn't go public with this to protect the little girl and also to protect the integrity of the investigation. As a parent, I would want to know that this person was still out there. It took them 3 days to arrest him. It happened on Saturday. He was arrested on Monday night. So it was a fair amount of time between when it happened and when he was arrested. They came out with this on Tuesday morning, so it was a long time in between. But they have defended their actions, saying it was to protect the integrity of this investigation, also the child. So you can understand protecting the child in this instance.
Indeed. Our heart goes out to her. It's just absolutely horrendous. Let's hope that he feels the full force of the law. Thanks very much for your time, Bianca, this morning.
Thanks, guys.
It's a terrible thing to be having to remind parents to be extra vigilant at this time of year. As, you know, looking around, I'd go and do it with my kids who look around the toy section.
Oh, I did it the other day. You think you can hear them, you know they're close, you yell out to them, they're still there. You don't expect that to happen just so fast.
Now, you're both parents as well. Like, what extent do you teach them stranger danger?
Well, look, it's been pretty well reinforced in our house. Just, you know, obviously if you don't know someone, then no amount of them
never telling, leave with them. Yep.
No amount of some stranger telling you how well he knows your mother or father is not a good enough excuse to go with anyone that you don't know. So, yeah, terrible, terrible indeed.
Ruined is for breakfast. Triple M.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the Metros on Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
We've got the Metros here. Introduce yourself, boys.
I'm Howie. I'm 27 and I'm an account manager at Triple M.
Yeah, Nails, 29, account manager at Triple M as well.
I'm Flack. I'm 35 and I just hang around.
You were here so early this morning to prepare for this segment, weren't you, Flack?
Yeah, because I know I'm going to say something stupid and embarrass myself.
That's a good gear, I reckon, Flack.
All right. Well, what we're talking about is Christmas is around the corner. I hope everyone's getting their shopping done. If your partner buys you a present that you don't like, should you be able to just say you don't like it, or do you got to just cop it sweet?
No, I'm way too smart to say I don't like it. Way too smart. I think I had to learn that the hard way, though, when we first started dating. I don't get too animated over anything, to be honest with you.
Good way to be.
Yeah, especially not presents.
Yeah, just neutral at all times.
Yeah, my partner's really, really into Christmas, so she's been thinking about this for a month. But anyway, she got me this present, and I I opened it and I said, oh, that's great. And I sort of just like looked over and she'd just gone silent and she just started welling up. And I was like, oh, no, no.
What
no.
was it?
Oh, I can't even remember. It wasn't the point. It was just the fact that I didn't give her everything. I didn't jump out the window in excitement because of the present that she got me. So since then, I've had to really work on my acting.
This is amazing. It's the most amazing pen I've ever seen. Nails?
Yeah, I reckon it's fine to say you don't like it. I think it depends how long you've been together. Like if you've only been together for 4 weeks or something and it's your first Christmas together, then probably, yeah, suck it up. But if you've been together a few years and, yeah, you're not a big fan of it, yeah, keep the receipt and, yeah, go back and change it over.
Secretly.
Yeah.
You can, but I don't advise it, all right? So I don't think you should ever tell your partner it's a crap present, because my ex was the queen of crap presents. I once gave her an iPad and I got a photo frame where she'd cut out my favourite basketball players out of the basketball cards and collaged them into the frame.
Thus devaluing your basketball cards.
Yeah, and to be honest, the cutting...
There's some thought in there.
Alana, your kids could have done a better job. Seriously, it was crap. And I told her, and she goes, you could put it up on the wall. And I said, no, I probably won't.
I feel like, I know you're talking about your ex-partner, and just over the last 2 weeks, there have been some alarm bells that you've mentioned that perhaps it was heading in that direction.
I should probably stop coming in here, actually.
All right. Well, the other topic we want to talk about is when you do break up. Maybe we'll start with you, Flack. And your ex, do you stalk them? Is that cool? Do you have a look at what they're up to?
I did it last week.
Oh, really?
We haven't been together for 3 years, and I did it last week because she had blocked me and unblocked me, and she's come up as a friend, like add a friend, and I'm like, oh. So I clicked on her.
So that's a request from her, or is it a suggestion?
Suggestion.
Yeah, right.
And so I clicked on her and stalked. And, you know, she's with a guy with 2 kids now, so good for her. And I'm...
And they're making collages and you're all around.
Enjoying yourself. Yeah, enjoy that stupid collage, mate.
Oh, no.
How about
I definitely had a stalk when we first broke up. But yeah, look, you don't need to do that anymore. I can understand why you still do, Flack, but I got no need to do that anymore.
I'm the same. I've still got my ex on social media. We didn't end on sort of bad terms. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't actively, you know, go the stalk like Flack does. But, you know, it pops up on your feed so you kind of get a bit of an idea of sort of what they're up to and whatnot. But, yeah, I'll either stalk into Flack, I think.
Thanks, guys.
Did you get a shock when you saw the image of her with the 2 kids?
Well, I did. But the other bad thing is he's a gym instructor and really good looking.
Right.
So she's traded up. I should never have stalked.
Well, it's so much different. But the hard part, I think, is for celebrities who break up with someone and then you don't even need to stalk. It's just flashed in your face
every
day.
Yeah, they can't escape it, can
someone's,
they?
Someone's going out with someone else. That must suck a lot.
Yeah.
just on the Christmas present thing, I remember my grandfather got me grandmother a headstone for Christmas 1 year, and she came in, she was quite, you know, distraught about it. She came in the next year, she said, what do you get me for Christmas this year? He said, you haven't used what I got you last year yet.
I reckon that's worse than the collage.
The Metros.
104.7 Triple M.
Pressure point!
Ruined it. $1,000 pressure test.
So you got to get, is it 10 right?
10 right.
30 seconds.
In 30 seconds.
To win the $1,000.
You cop a gorilla. Bucks. 2 weeks before Chrissy.
Yep.
Perfect timing.
It's absolutely perfect.
And the person with the opportunity to do that today is Phil from Salisbury North. Morning to you, Phil.
Morning. How are you?
Yeah, good,
very,
thanks.
Very well, mate.
How are you travelling?
Oh, yeah, not too bad. Just working.
You ready to have a crack at $1,000? How would that sit for you?
Oh, it'd be nice just before Christmas.
Well, all right, then here it is. We're going to give you the topic. You need to come up in keeping with today's announcement. You need to give us 10 movies about space.
10 movies about space.
Oh, that's tough.
We'll help you out. ET, there you go. We'll kick it off.
ET, Aliens, Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Blade Runner.
Yes.
Galaxy Stormtroopers. Sunshine. Apocalypse 13. Aviator. Avatar.
Total Recall.
Independence Day.
We're done, Phil.
Yeah. Oh, your timer finished about 3 minutes ago.
You came good there towards the end.
But eight.
Eight. That's pretty good, mate.
Not a bad effort. Just a slow start.
Yeah,
I know. Panicked.
not $1,000, mate, but a double to open air cinema. So double VIP tickets to open air cinemas worth $110 each.
Sweet.
And F&B package as well. American Express Open Air Cinemas is bringing more than movies to its brand new location at the Riverbank Lawn. Tickets and info at openaircinemas.com.au. There's the credit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Enjoy that, mate.
Cheers, mate.
All right, thanks for that.
Thanks, Phil.
Oh, actually, I was watching a bit of that at our Christmas party last week, the week before.
Yeah, what was on?
What was Bohemian Rhapsody was on?
Was it?
So I got to see a little bit of that over the fence, peering over the fence at the open air cinema.
Everyone says that movie is absolutely fantastic.
They're talking Oscars for it,
yeah.
And for a biopic about a band to even have that type of buzz is just
and
unbelievable.
Really widespread appeal. Like I've heard that from my mum, and then you know.
That
round the corner kind of thing.
The lead actor, Rami or whatever his name is, he's got a fair set of choppers on him, hasn't he? He could have an apple through a picket fence.
Were they fake or they real?
Oh, I don't know. They look pretty good, but.
Okay. Ruined it for breakfast. Triple M.
Hang on a minute.
Oh,
we
no.
said we were going to fix this today.
I enjoy the show right up until I hear myself being an idiot, which is... I don't get to hear myself back, but I hear that back and I don't like it. Just on the Queen thing, Bohemian Rhapsody has become the most streamed song of the 20th century. 1.6 billion streams of that song have taken place and it's been helped in no short form because of the new movie that's come out. So that was a bit of a thing. Now listen, having sex on iconic structures might seem like a bit of a hoot, but it turns out if you do it on the pyramids in Egypt, you could end up in all sorts of trouble.
I bet you could, because their society in general is pretty strict on things. So what's happened?
Well, a couple of people have taken photos of themselves in an intimate embrace on the pyramids.
On the pointy end.
On the pointy end of the pyramids. And the government is now investigating because they take crimes against decency very, very seriously over there. It was only, a couple of weeks ago, one of their most famous actresses was being investigated for appearing in a skirt that showed off too much of her legs and stuff. So these people may find themselves on the pointy end of the law.
Watch that space.
And
I've got an update to a story you spoke about yesterday, Glee. So and Cassandra Thorburn, the ex-wife of Karl Stefanovic, she's actually come out on Studio 10 and denied everything that we quoted yesterday, saying new idea. She's never done an interview with them. They literally just made up her quotes.
If you can't trust new ideas, who can you trust?
But seriously, you can't just be quoting people and they've never spoken to you.
Well, see, this is something that's gone on with a lot of these magazines over the years, is that they just come up with stories. I think what's the one in the UK, Hello, I think it's called, that they seem to have all the correct information because they never print stuff bad about anybody. It's kind of like a nice tabloid mag or a nice glossy magazine.
But, do they sell much? Or?
Of course they do to the people who are in them. But I can't believe that they can get away with that. And you know, they're not the first. Cass Thorburn's not the first to accuse him of that. Mm. Warney has said over the past that a lot of quotes attributed to him are made up as well. We've got Rebel Wilson, who won that landmark claim and unfortunately had that overturned. But the fact they can just make stuff up is outrageous and then put it on the cover of a magazine to sell. Unbelievable. Well, there it is.
There it is. Show's
Thanks
over.
Thanks very much for listening, everybody.